recording. It is January 21st, 2014, 1:57 p.m. And Robert, can you just state that you're still aware that you know, you're free to leave if you wish?
Yes, I know that I can leave.
Okay.
Okay. Simon and Shirley Bernstein first came to our firm in 2008. We met them in 2007. Prepared the will and trust documents in 2008, among other planning that we did. Simon Bernstein had been in the insurance business for 40 years.
Okay.
Was the subject of the first meetings was about the potential sale of his business down the road, where we were going to move some stock out of his name into his grandchildren's names, and, you know, hopefully at some point when he sold the business, you know, everybody would benefit from that. That never really came to be, but we did a lot of planning in connection with that, including setting up a limited partnership, which would be protected under Florida law. We set up a Delaware asset protection trust for him. He was very, very concerned always with creditor protection, and a lot of people that are in the insurance business are.
Okay.
So, and that's important. It becomes a little important later on. So in 2008, we do their documents. They've got 5 children. They've got 10 grandchildren. And there is another step-grandchild who is the stepson of Ted Bernstein. Their dispositive documents are just like any normal estate plan as it relates to the first death. On the first death, everything goes to the survivor of the two of them.
Okay?
So Shirley dies, and we're not there yet, but I want to talk about the planning a little bit, the initial planning, because this is, you know, this a lot of what I've seen and probably a lot of what you have related to Elliot is because of the initial planning that was done. So when they did those documents, again, the normal disposition on the first death, we can't predict order of death. Everything goes to either Cy or Shirley on the first death. On the second death, they both excluded under their documents Ted and Pam. Why? Because they set up both of them with insurance businesses during their lifetimes. And they wanted to make Elliot, Lisa, and Jill as whole as they could. Because Ted and Pam lived in Illinois, she had her own insurance business, and Ted was working with Simon in the insurance business. Okay? So their documents both say, at the death of the survivor of us, whoever that is, everything goes to Elliot, Lisa, and Jill in 3 trusts.
Okay.
Okay? Shirley had one difference in her document that I explained earlier. From Cy. So Shirley always had a liking for Ted's stepson, her step-grandson, Matthew Logan. And she left in her document a devise for him of $200,000. Simon was never crazy about that. Some people, it's got to be blood, or they don't get anything. Ted had never, in fact, adopted Matthew, so to Cy, it wasn't what he wanted, but it's what Shirley wanted. So when they executed documents in their original documents in April 2008, that was the only difference. And again, everything to the survivor at the second death, Elliot, Lisa, and Jill.
Okay.
Shirley wanted to change that provision that included Matthew Logan by removing him from her document. And so we executed an amendment in her home with her personal assistant and my assistant, removing the provision that gave a devise to Matthew Logan.
So she wanted it, but then she decided against it.
She decided to take it out.
Okay.
Cy decided to take it out. And she ended up listening to Cy. That was the last change that Shirley ever made to her documents during her lifetime.
Okay.
Okay, November 2008, Shirley dies December of 2010 with a dispositive plan that says, if my husband survives me, which he did, everything is going to go to the Shirley Trust for the benefit of Simon. Okay? And on his subsequent death, her document said everything in three equal shares to Elliot, Lisa, and Jill as to her assets that were in this trust.
Okay.
Okay? Not as to his assets.
Glad you're doing the diagram.
Okay? Not as to his assets, but as to the assets that passed from Shirley's will and trust that went here at her subsequent demise, those assets are supposed to come to Elliot, Lisa, and Jill.
Okay.
2012 comes. Cy is having apprehension about the fact that he has eliminated Ted and Pam, primarily because Pam started sending him letters. She had a lawyer contact us and reach out to our office wanting to see her mother's documents. So I met with Simon, and he wanted to discuss possible changes to his documents. One of the changes that we talked about was how to include Ted and Pam's children. Now, what's not here, and I have not drawn, is the life insurance policy that Simon owned, that the default provisions under that policy provided for if his wife survived, the policy to go to her. She did not survive. And the remainderment under that document were her five children, his five children.
Is this the one that was up north?
Yes, this is the Illinois okay. matter. So let me just draw that trust for you real quick, because this is a Simon insurance policy.
And is this in a court battle up there?
Yeah, absolutely, and only because of you know who. Okay. This document currently provides.
Just clarify for the record who you're referring to.
Elliot.
Okay.
Okay. This. So when I meet with Cy, this life insurance policy is going to his five children.
Okay.
He has a bit of a dilemma. He's got his daughter, who is upset about being excluded under his documents. And if you looked at his documents prior to us doing this, again, his documents looked like this. Elliot, Lisa, Jill. Okay? This is the change in 2012, but I want you to know that Simon had identical documents that Shirley did here. Okay?
So prior to 2012, they were all the same.
They were all the same. Now that the amendment had taken care of Matthew Logan. Okay? So, not only did he have the issue with Ted and Pam, but he had an issue because he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
Some 30 years his junior, nobody in the family liked him, liked her, and people weren't crazy that she was hanging out in the house that their mother lived in and living there. So he says to me, Robert, I need to do something about my planning. I want to plan for Maritza, and I want to plan for...
Who's Maritza?
Maritza is the girlfriend, okay? I want to plan for my girlfriend Maritza, and I want to plan for Ted's children and Pam's child that were cut out previously. He wanted to start carving up this insurance policy to do that, which I suggested to him was a terrible idea. He was going to now take money that would have otherwise gone to his five children and give a piece of that to his girlfriend and a piece of it to his four grandchildren. I had suggested to him that he exercise under Shirley's documents, under his documents. We typically, because we can't predict order of death, we can't predict how somebody might turn out, we give a power in the document of both of them, but that power is given to the survivor to alter the disposition that would have otherwise gone to Elliot, Lisa, and Jill. And that said, a power of appointment says, Cy survives. Upon Cy's death, he has the power to change what was under my documents. Cy says, Robert, I want my estate and I want my wife's estate to go to my 10 grandchildren. Okay? So the exercise of the power, go to my 10 grandchildren. I told Cy that we really couldn't do that under Shirley's documents because Ted and Pam's four kids and Ted and Pam were all definitionally cut out of the document. So if you read the document, it says, my son Ted and my daughter Pam and their lineal descendants are deemed to have predeceased the two of us. Okay? So under, he can do whatever he wants with his estate. Okay. He can give it to all 10 grandchildren. But the best that he can do under Shirley's estate is to only give what would have originally gone to Elliot, Lisa, and Jill. He can only give that to Elliot, Lisa, and Jill's children.
Okay?
Because Ted and Pam's children are cut out. So he doesn't like that because he wanted to give both of the estates to the 10 grandchildren. And I told him that if he involves Maritza either here or here, he's asking...
Well, just say what here is.
Here on the life insurance trust or here in the estate planning, he is begging for litigation with his family. And I had suggested to him to provide through a joint bank account or to make gifts to her during his lifetime, but not to integrate her into any facet of his estate plan. Okay? He says, Robert, I need to think about what I want to do. That's a meeting that took place in February of 2012. 3 months later, he calls me up. I know what I want to do. I'm going to leave my insurance trust in place, and I want this to all go to my 10 grandchildren. I explained to him again, it cannot go to all 10 grandchildren unless he takes all of the assets out of the Shirley Trust and puts them in his name. Because he's able to change his document to do whatever he wants to do. But because of the definitional exclusion here for Ted and Pam and their lineal descendants, he can't take those assets here and do that. The cost of moving all of these assets out of this trust would have been significant because at the time that Shirley died, there were no federal estate taxes in place at that time in 2010. So everything that passed to Cy here passed free of tax and would be forever free of tax. Additionally, when someone else settles a trust for your benefit, it's asset protected. So Simon would never take these assets and put them in his own name, subject them to creditor claims, and then defeat the tax planning purpose. He said, get my children on the phone. I want my children to agree that my assets and Shirley's assets that came to me go to my 10 grandchildren.
Okay. Now, is this a different phone call than the amended accounting form that we previously discussed? Because for night...
No, the issue that you have on the closing documents for the estate...
Okay.
Completely not related to this issue any way whatsoever.
But is it a different phone call? Because at that time, when I was doing that investigation, Elliot, from what I was told, Elliot was at your office, Ted was at your office, if I remember correctly, and you guys had a conference call with the other kids, and that's when they agreed to that amended accounting form.
No, that was...
Different time.
The closing of Dad's estate and the yes, it was part of the same call, but completely unrelated to this issue.
Well, what the detective is asking you is
just making sure it's the same
call.
Did it
occur on the same occasion?
Only because you just gave me recollection of that. Did I remember that? But yes, because what we wanted to do was to close Shirley's estates, and we had sent out waivers. We were going to send out waivers that needed to be signed. And Cy had said to his kids, you're going to get the waivers, sign them, send them back, and we'll get Mom's estate closed.
And I'm just asking you if it's the same phone call, because I'm going to have to ask people, do you remember this conversation?
You're right, and I did not recall that that was part of that conversation.
Okay,
so back to this. Cy says, I can get my kids to agree. So we have the phone call. All five kids chime in, Dad, great idea. The person talking the most is Elliot. Great idea, Dad. You know, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel best, you know, something about Dad's health, yada, yada, yada. Okay? So Elliot chimes in, everything's okay. So Cy, when we prepare his new documents, drafts up documents that gives his entire estate to 10, and now exercises his power over Shirley's documents with the consent of his children to have it passed to 10 kids, even though legally under the documents, because of the limitation, it could only go to these 6.
Okay.
So Simon... These documents were executed at the end of July 2012. Simon dies 7 weeks later, unexpectedly. About 2 months after that, we get a request from Elliot's lawyer, Christine Yates, to see all of the documents. Including documents that relate to the house that they live in, because the house that they live in. Another piece of the puzzle here.
I have seen that email.
Well, this is very important for you too. This is going to be very educational for you.
Okay.
Bernstein Family Realty LLC. He wants to see these documents. He wants to see these documents. He wants to see Cy's original version of these documents. He wants to see this life insurance trust. He wants to see the original policy. He wants to see everything that we have on Bernstein Family Realty, which owns the house that they live in, okay? Which is owned not by Elliot, but by 3 trusts that Simon established during his lifetime because he didn't want Elliot to own the house. Okay?
So those are the kids, right?
Those are his 3 kids.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? Jack, Jake, and Dana. Christine Yates asked for the documents. And stupidly, foolishly, we know that if we give Christine Yates the documents, that Cy's wishes could be defeated. Because again, he wanted everything to go to the 10 grandchildren.
Was something already signed and put through?
Shirley dies, Simon's dies. So
but
when Shirley dies, these are what her documents look like. And again, technically, under the power, the power here,
minus the law that's saying you can't do some of that, the phone conversation that you guys had agreed upon, were documents drawn up, signed, and then, I assume, put through the court.
The waiver.
Yeah.
No, forget about that. This isn't even...
No, not my waiver of accounting. That conversation that you had with changes, did that happen on paper?
It with the piece of it that could not happen legally on paper was... So I could not, because Shirley died and her documents cut out Ted, Pam, mm-hmm. and their four kids, definitionally cut them out.
Yep.
His exercise of the power could not be in favor of these four trusts over Shirley's assets.
Okay?
Could not. Okay? But he had the agreement of his children that that was what's going to happen. Again, any family...
So you had a verbal agreement.
We had a verbal agreement.
And no paperwork was ever done.
You could. There was the only paperwork that could have been done was to reduce it to a writing, and Cy did not want to start opening up. He had an issue with Pam. He had an issue with Ms. Maritza. And the one issue that he never talked to us about was this. And he probably knew that if he started to circulate a document about a written document confirming this oral understanding, that there would be issues.
And I just needed clarification.
It's a good question.
Because I understand, but people can't do a lot of things that they do. So I'm just...
It's an excellent question, and you're 100... But again, I'm going to say, I said to David, I've got to say, in 10,000 families, you're going to maybe have this situation where somebody's going to look at the documents. Because Cy made his plan very easy. Life insurance policy to my five kids,
okay.
Equal shares, Shirley and Simon's estates to the 10 kids. They both die, their estates get administered, and the distributions are made to the 10 kids. No one says anything, okay? He goes out and gets a lawyer. That started right away, okay? Mom, Dad is dead less than 24 hours. He's in the house, okay? He's having, Ted wants to open up the safe. There's a discussion about videotape. He thinks his parents have millions of dollars in jewelry. An appraisal later on revealed that there was $60,000. He's saying that, the furniture, there's furniture missing. The value of this furniture is more than it is. The value of the furniture turned out to be $50,000. He was saying the sofa alone was worth $100,000. So he's just, unstable, erratic. So at the point in December-January timeframe of 2012, 3-4 months after Cy's death, Christine Yates is asking to see the documents. And foolishly, we took this amendment here. My partner and I talked about what to do. In May of 2012, after that meeting and after the kids had all agreed, where we had a verbal agreement, we talked about doing a scrivener's affidavit that would clarify that at least Ted and Pam's children were not cut out.
Okay.
It was unclear from our 2008 notes whether or not they were cut out. Okay? So I caused to be prepared a scrivener's affidavit, but because I wasn't sure whether they were supposed to be included or excluded, and I would be signing it under penalties of perjury, I didn't end up signing it. I come to my partner and I say, Don, we have this scrivener's affidavit. What are we going to do? Christine Yates is asking for documents on Elliot's behalf. And I remind him about the scrivener's affidavit, and he is convinced that it is going to thwart Cy's wishes, because if the scrivener's affidavit doesn't fly, then this only goes down to 6 of the 10 and not to 10 of the 10.
Okay.
And so we notice in this document that it jumps from paragraph 1 to paragraph 3. And there's no initials on the first page of the document of the Shirley Bernstein. Foolishly, we put an amendment, we redid this page to reflect an item 2 that says that it was only Ted and Pam that were cut out, not their lineal descendants. Okay. And we sent that document along with the rest of the documents to Christine Yates, which was Elliot's lawyer. And that's, you know, in an attempt to carry out our client's wishes, where we had the agreement of the five children that it would pass to the 10 grandchildren. And Elliot, you know, his unstable, erratic nature, we don't know him that well, but he's made some rumblings. Already, he wants to challenge the insurance policy. Not for anything more than there no one could locate the trust that was the beneficiary of the policy. And so if you couldn't locate the trust that said it goes in equal shares to my five children, it would go to the estate of Simon, and it would be divided 10 ways. So, and here he only gets 20% as one of five children, but here he gets 30% as three of 10 grandchildren. So he's causing waves here for the sole purpose of getting the monies here.
So what that form did was, instead of six people got it, ten people got it. And how long do some distributions went out?
And then, yes, not because of our advice. We had involved there at the time that Cy died, even before he died, a former partner employee had filed a lawsuit against him. When Cy's estate was open, he filed a $2.5 million claim in the estate. Because he also named the Shirley Trust as part of that litigation, we had advised not to fund any trusts until there was a resolution of the Stansberry claim, because Stansberry was arguing that transfers that were done in 2008 to Shirley's trust were fraudulent.
Do you have a copy of the one that got changed?
I do, I just don't have it here.
Okay.
That was the document I wanted
and
you to bring.
Who typed up that document?
I did.
Okay.
I did that.
Okay. And then you attached it to this back page?
Correct.
And sent it in?
Correct.
How many dollars did you benefit by as a result of
$0
what you described?
Zero.
Okay. And so the sole reason is just to
effectuate our client's intent to transfer it to the 10 grandchildren, whom we had the consent of all five children. I made a contemporaneous note during the phone call that all of the children agreed.
So you're doing this as Simon's wishes from a phone call?
Correct.
That all parties were either physically present,
they were all present via
phone.
They were all on the phone.
Wasn't somebody at the office?
I think maybe Ted was at the office, but it's May 2012, so I'm not sure.
Did I think? Okay.
No, Elliot would not have been there.
He was not at the office.
No, I did not know him at
the office. Can I just ask a clarifying question? Had Simon expressed his desire to have the 10 grandchildren rather than the six be beneficiaries to you or your law partner or both prior to the conversation that all of the children participated in? Did he express that?
Absolutely. We had a meeting February of 2012 and May of 2012.
You and your partner? Is it Tesher?
Tesher wasn't at either of the February meeting or the May meeting.
Any other people that work with you?
No.
Present?
No. So no, just, there's nobody there with me, but my notes.
Yeah, I'm just asking. But the phone call was with Jill. Was on the phone call?
Jill,
Pamela
Lisa,
actually picked
Pam
up the phone?
Everybody was on that phone call. And he felt a certain sense of urgency about it, because I had explained to him several times, Son, you can't do this. It's my family. They'll do what I want done. Just get them on the phone as soon as possible. So we set up a call shortly thereafter, got them on the phone, and Simon created a new will that gave his estate, well, it gave his tangible personal property. This goes back now to the waivers.
Okay.
Remember, I just called you up and I said, nothing that Kim did changed any devise. And that's true, because under both Shirley's will and Simon's will, the beneficiaries of tangible personal property, the cars, the artwork, the furniture, the jewelry, were always their children.
Yeah, everybody signed the form to begin with anyway.
So they admit it. That never changed. Yeah. Everything else that Simon had went down to his 10 grandchildren. If you read the power of appointment, he says, I dispose of the assets that remain in the family trust created under Shirley's trust to those 10 trusts.
And Shirley actually signed this document here.
Absolutely signed it.
Everybody was present. She went and notarized it.
Everybody.
This never got uttered through the courts.
No.
It just went to...
This is the original. This, again, is the original.
But nothing went to the courts.
Well, as part of Elliot's rantings and filings.
I'm talking about a document that you guys...
Nothing that we did. We never sent the document to the court. We never sent...
And obviously you asked... You understand why I'm asking.
Of course. Of course.
So Christine Yates got that, but Christine Yates is no longer his attorney, correct?
No longer the attorney. So
he's been through several, right?
Important, because she drops out in... Yeah, he does. He gets one more attorney in. She drops out of...
Who is no longer his attorney. Is that correct?
Correct. So both of them dropped out. So her whole focus, Christine Yates, and this is important because I'm sure Elliot's ranting about it, is Bernstein Family Realty. Because she did not represent Elliot, and she made that very clear, that she represented Elliot as it related to his children's trust that were created by Cy in 2006. These are 2006 trusts, okay, that were created by Cy. All the grandchildren got to trust in 2006. Okay. He created this structure here because he didn't want to buy Elliot a home. He wanted his grandchildren's trust to own the home.
Okay, which takes me to another question. Because it's going to come up.
So,
Legacy Bank. Sorry, I get all
these
emails.
Let me explain Legacy Bank to you, because you've got
all these emails.
You've got the distorted version about Legacy Bank. Okay? Simon Bernstein.
Okay, now I see why he's saying 33.
Okay, 33. Robert, let Detective Miller asked the question.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
And we may not even have to go there. Just let me, I have to rifle through his emails to understand.
He's going through some emails now. So perhaps we can go off the record so I can use the bathroom.
Yes. You know what? By raising your right hand, Robert, do you swear the testimony you gave is the absolute truth?
Absolutely.
Okay, that concludes the interview for this moment. Thank you. Okay, we're recording again. It's